जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपा परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरष्ट श्री श्रीमारे श्रीपतिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपार की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आ गवेश दिय समल दिवर्ती आ गवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, text number 16. Word meanings, tata, thereafter, vatsan, the calves, adrishtva, not seeing there within the forest, etya, after, puline api, to the bank of the Yamuna, cha, also, Vatsapan could not see the cowherd boys. Ubhau api, both of them, the calves and the cowherd boys. Vane, within the forest. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Vichikaya, searched all over. Samantataha, here and there. Tato vatsan adrishtvaiva. Excuse me, twaitya. Tato vatsan adrishtvaitya. Puline picha vatsapan. Ubhava pi vane Krishna. Vichikaya samantata. Tato vatsan adrishtvaitya. Puline picha vatsapan. Ubhava pi vane Krishna. Vichikaya samantata. Tato vatsana drishtvaitya. Puline picha vatsapan. Ubhava pi vane Krishna. Vichikaya samantata. Tato vatsana drishtvaitya. Puline picha vatsapan. Ubhava pi vane Krishna. Vichikaya samantata. Tato vatsana drishtvaitya. Puline picha vatsapan.
Ubhava pi vane Krishna.
Ladies. Translation. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys. as if he could not understand what had happened. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the boys, but as an innocent child, he searched here and there so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's maya. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Tato Vatsana Drishtaitya Puline Picha Vatsapan Ubhava Pivane Krishna Vichikaya Samantataha. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Lord Brahma is called Adi Kavi. This title of his comes up in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Adi, of course, means original or first, and Kavi means learned person. So this especially a learned person, and according to our definition, is somebody who knows the Vedas, especially. The Vedas are the repository of all knowledge. So one who knows the Vedas knows everything. Everything that is to be known in this world, you can say. But there are things that are beyond the Vedas. Now, we see that Lord Brahma has gone beyond his expertise, his knowledge. He knows everything in the Vedas, but he still doesn't quite know what's going on here. In yesterday's purport, I don't know if this was discussed after I left yesterday, but I thought it was interesting. A couple of places that Prabhupada says, he says, Brahma, well, let me just read this first sentence of the purport here. When Aghasura was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. I said, what? Not sure what Prabhupada meant there. And then later in the purport he says, Brahma, with his maya, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. So, what's Prabhupada referring to here? Obviously, Krishna's present. He's trying to do something with Krishna. So the only thing I could think here was that Prabhupada, when he's using the word Krishna here, what he means is God. Is this really God? Is God actually present here? This person who's Krishna, is this really God? Is God actually present here? So he wanted to test. Let's see how powerful he is. Let me steal his associates, see what happens. So he was playing with fire, which is an apt analogy, because later, Lord Brahma, when he's repenting, saying his prayers, he says, I'm like a little candle trying to challenge the sun. So he was definitely playing with fire, the biggest fire, the sun, and he's going to get in trouble for it. So it's appropriate that it's Lord Brahma who's doing this, who's the... Of course, the Bhagavatam is filled with so many lessons. All these pastimes, they have different lessons, and Prabhupada brings them out in the purport. So here, of course, one of the lessons is we can't understand God. As much as we try, and however intelligent we are, he's always going to be a step ahead of us, or many steps ahead of us. So here, the way it's described is Brahma is thinking, ha ha, I stole your calves and your cowherd boyfriends. What are you going to do about it? And what's Krishna doing? He's saying, okay, I'm going to play along. I'm going to look here and there as if I don't know what's going on. But Natacharyam, Krishna's described in the first canto, one who dances like an actor on a stage, just bewilders, you can't. Even in this purport today also, Prabhupada raises this point. Sometimes the actor is so good at playing the role that we become completely absorbed in it. We forget, oh, this is just an actor pretending to do this. It seems so real. So when Krishna dances in this world, performs his pastimes, he does it according to his own sweet will. He's not forced to do it. And he can act in such a way that everyone is astonished and bewildered and can't quite figure out what's going on. So even though Brahma was trying to bewilder Krishna by stealing his friends, it's actually Brahma that's being bewildered. There are different places that different aspects of this pastime that reveal that. For example, Lord Brahma, he thought that he had stole the boys. So he's the one who's bewildered because he didn't actually steal the boys, as we found out yesterday. He didn't steal the boys. He still stole some Maya boys, not the real cowherd boys. He stole some imitation cowherd boys, some temporary cowherd boys that Krishna manifested. But Brahma was thinking, ha ha, I get them. I get Krishna's friends. So he's the one who was actually an illusion. And he also, he thought that he had put them to sleep. Because there's a part of this pastime, the boys, they go to sleep, but they don't understand quite what's going on. So later there's a verse that says, I forget what the Sanskrit is, something like Krishna Maya Hatatmahanam, that Krishna overwhelmed them with sleep. It wasn't Brahma who was doing it. It wasn't Brahma's energy. It was Krishna's energy. Because we have to understand that Krishna is ultimately behind this whole show, this whole thing that's going on. Not only is he the main actor, but he's also the producer. He's the creator of the whole thing. He set the whole thing up for his pastimes. Everything Krishna does, he does it for his own enjoyment. And not only his own enjoyment, but his own enjoyment means others get to share in that enjoyment. So he's set up this whole show so that he can enjoy. And we see what, as this pastime unfolds, of course everyone is familiar with it, that so many things grow out of this, Krishna's decision, you might say, to perform this pastime. So the residents of Vrindavan, they enjoy some increased affection for Krishna, and then also the cows and the calves. And so many things take place in it that Krishna churns. He's churning up the emotions. He's churning up the rasa, the tastes, the mellows of devotional service. So he has a plan and he's unfolding it and he's choreographing the whole thing, setting it up. And Brahma thinks that he's the one who's making it happen. Of course, this is our position in this world, isn't it? We think we're making something happen. But it's actually Krishna, Krishna's energy behind it all, allowing things to happen, responding to our desires according to his own sweet will. He may fulfill our desires, he might not fulfill them, or he might fulfill them in such a way that's beneficial to us, not exactly what we wanted, but in some way that will help us. So he's behind it all. He's everywhere, running the show, but we don't see it happen. We see the material energy, our ahankara, thinks that we're making it happen. So Lord Brahma here, he thinks that he's making it happen, but he's not making it happen. Now, of course, what happens at the end of this lila is that Lord Brahma, he realizes, whoa, this really is God, this little boy, and I blew it. I made a big mistake here, challenging him, thinking I could figure him out. This is the main theme, Lord Brahma's prayers that come in the next chapter, in so many different ways. He says that we can never, by our speculation, understand the absolute truth or understand God. We just have to face it. In so many verses in that chapter, he says, he makes essentially the same point in different ways. And even here, during Brahma's bewilderment, it's only by Krishna's mercy that he's drawn out of it. Krishna removes the covering, and he takes him gradually to real darshan of Krishna himself. by jnana, which is Brahma's method, or at least he's putting himself in the position of jnanis, you can get a certain distance. But you can't get all the way in understanding God. Of course, we know that you can understand, by jnana, you can enter into Brahman realization. You can understand the oneness, spiritual oneness behind everything, or the spiritual energy behind everything. You can conceive it. Even intuitively, we can look around and see how everything is connected, how something is like holding everything together, some principle. There's some kind of oneness that's behind everything. And by meditation, one can come to that kind of realization, even perceive it, perceive the spirit, aham brahmasmi. And with our logic and reason also, we can understand that maybe there's a person behind all of this. There's power, so there must be a powerful source. The mistake of the impersonalists is they think there's power without a power station, without a powerful source. They think it's just power, disconnected from anything or without any source. But with a little logic, with a little jnana, one can come to the point of understanding, oh, there must be a person behind this, behind all this power that's going on in this world. So by speculation, you can even arrive at that kind of conclusion. You might say you can understand something about God. It makes sense. Just logically, it makes sense that God must be a very powerful person. He's making all this happen. If God is a person, then he's a very, very powerful person. So the concept of Lord Vishnu, the powerful agency behind everything, that makes sense. Just we proceed step by step and we get to this point. Now to get to Lord Krishna, that's a little more difficult. What happens when people see a picture of Krishna and we say this is God? They say, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can this be God? So to know, really know God, you can't just look from the outside, use your logic and your reasoning and your jnana. But Krishna has to show himself. He has to reveal himself. Actually, any person, we may think we know someone, but how can we know? We don't even know ourselves, even, of course. So many things go on in our mind, so many passing thoughts. We may be struggling to find ourselves, as we say. So even our own, try to see ourselves is difficult, really understand our own motivations and desires and so on. So what to speak of someone else's? You can never really know what's going on within someone's mind. So what to speak of God? How can we really know him? So we know him as he reveals himself. He just comes right out and says, this is what I do. You can understand me by seeing the things that I do through my leelas and through revelation also. Krishna reveals himself in the heart of the devotees. Because we can see also, of course, externally Krishna's pastimes. Krishna reveals himself through his pastimes, and many people misunderstand them. So we need guidance. But is Krishna revealing himself and allowing us to see? So it's not by our intelligence, just by our intelligence, that we can get everything, finally understand everything. That's one of Brahma's important prayers in the 14th chapter, this canto. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jitopya sitaistrilokyam. So he says, jnane prayasam udapasya. Udapasya means reject, give it up. Give up what? Jnane prayas, the endeavor to understand God through jnana. Give it up. This, of course, was the verse that Lord Chaitanya quoted when he was having Ramananda Roy ask him so many different questions. So in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya was rejecting, this is external, this is external. But when he got to this point, just reject jnana and hear. Tanovan manobhir. Hear and try to understand. Just by hearing, stane stita sruti gatam tanuvan manobir. Stane stita means you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to leave your position in society. You don't have to change externally. Just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear about Krishna from the realized devotees, and then you can conquer Krishna just by hearing about him. In commenting on this verse, I think it's Sanatan Goswami. He's quoted in the purport in the 11th canto, or 10th canto. Sanatan Goswami says, in this verse it says, Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyabhartam. Jivanti means go on living. Go on living while hearing the Krishna Katha. And Sanatan Goswami says, what this means is if you go on hearing Krishna Katha throughout your life, you just have to live your life and you will get success. As long as this is your life, you're hearing about Krishna, you don't really have to worry about anything. Just live your throughout the course of your life hearing about Krishna. You will conquer Krishna, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Because, of course, the more you hear about Krishna, the more you become attracted by Krishna. That's part of it. With jnana, there's a certain distance. You create a distance, analytical distance. Just like in science, of course, the observer is supposed to be detached and not influence the experiment. But in bhakti, the experimenter is totally invested. It's completely, not completely subjective, but our hearts have to be in it. We have to connect with Krishna. So we do it, we hear about Krishna and then naturally become attracted. Gunatmanaste gunadima tum hitavatir nasyaka ishira isya. This is another verse in that same chapter where Lord Brahma says you have infinite quality. You're actually gunatmana. It's a very nice word. Gunatmana, you could say it means the soul of the qualities or the life of the quality. Because the qualities themselves, I mean, they're attractive, but when they're personified, then you see, just like bhakti, we understand bhakti, then we understand Radharani, she's bhakti Devi. So our understanding increases by that, and we really see what bhakti is. So whatever good qualities there are, Krishna is the personification of those things. He is those qualities, the good qualities. It said God is love. I remember when I was first a devotee, devotees would say, that's not that God is love. God loves. Love is a thing. So here we see a bit of a contradiction of that, because God is love too. Because, of course, God is not different from his qualities. He's identical to his qualities. So he is love. So that's something attractive, of course, God's love. But God has unlimited qualities, infinite number of qualities. Sanatan Goswami, in commenting on this verse, he says that God, Krishna, has a particular quality to attract every individual soul. There's a particular quality for each one of us. So he's trying to get us, and he's going to show us that thing, whatever it is. That's going to attract us to him. We see even for ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we may be attracted to this particular aspect of devotional service or this particular pastime of Krishna. We see these things even in ourselves as neophytes. So the more we advance, the different qualities of Krishna become more and more attractive. So that's Krishna. He has unlimited qualities. And this verse that I was quoting, Gunatmanaste, so it says that even if one could count all the atoms in the universe and all the snowflakes that there are, even if one could count all of those, one still could not come to the limits of Krishna's qualities. So generally the idea is that, well, you can't, of course, count all of those things. Nobody can do that. But even if you could, so one of the acharyas said, actually, personalities like Sankarshan, they have counted all the atoms in the universe, Lord Sankarshan. But he also doesn't come to the end of Krishna's qualities. He's been going on since time immemorial, glorifying Krishna, and he never runs out of the glories of Krishna. So this is another indication that it's Krishna, not our intelligence, it's Krishna himself that or who awakens understanding of him, who awakens knowledge of him, and attraction to him. The more we love Krishna, the more we're attracted to Krishna, the more we learn about him, and the more we understand him. Because understanding doesn't just mean, you know, the physical attributes, you might say, of God. He's not physical, but still the philosopher's God, you might say. Philosophers debate, God would be like this, God would be like this. In principle, he should be like this, and so on. And we also use these. He's the source of everything, janma adyasya yataha. So that's an understanding of God. He's the source of all power, as I was saying before. He's controlling everything. So these are all understandings of God, but here we see a different face of God, a different feature of God, and how he's loving his devotees. And of course, that's the most important understanding of God, understanding him as a person, as he really is, understanding his qualities, and how he interacts and reveals himself through his devotees. So Lord Brahma, go back to the original point, Lord Brahma he's the smartest person in the universe, you can say. Adi Kavi. But what does he say? Kalena Yarva Mihikasu Kalper Bubhangshiva Ke Mihikadu Bhasa. I'm forgetting the last line. Anyway, he says in that same verse, Gunatmanaste, that you're completely beyond my body, mind, and words. You're just completely beyond me. Then there, Jananta Vijanantu Kimbahukya Chame Prabho, Name Prabho. He says, there are those who say, I know everything about Krishna, or I know everything about God. He says, let them say like that. As far as I'm concerned, you're completely beyond me. So he was very humble, Lord Brahma. He became very humbled by this incident. In the very first verse of the 14th chapter, he describes Krishna standing beautifully dressed as a cowherd boy, holding a stick and a buffalo bugle and a flute and so on. So what is happening is that he's getting that darshan previously in the Leela, as we hear it unfold, and Krishna reveals his Vishnu expansions, that all the cowherd boys are actually Vishnu expansions. So Krishna revealed himself as Vishnu there. Then at the end, he revealed his Krishna form. This is actually the ultimate. He's revealing to Brahma, and Brahma's realizing it. He's relishing. Krishna's standing just as he was in the beginning, just as he was a year before. He's holding the same kavala, it's called it, the mixture of rice and yogurt in his hand. Still has it in his hand, just as he was a year before. So Brahma is saying, well, this is the truth. This is the absolute truth. This is God. After seeing you manifest your power in different ways, now I appreciate this is your original form. So Krishna is teaching Brahma. He's instructing his devotee, helping him advance. Even someone as advanced as Lord Brahma can make further advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I'll read the verse again. Translation. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Jatari Prabhu?
So, in this pastime, Krishna is actually acting. He's not like Lord Chaitanya, and I guess covered by Yoga Maya, where I don't really understand how it works. It's like Lord Chaitanya, from what I've read, he's not remembering.
Well, in Krishna's Leela also, there are times when it appears like that, where Krishna, because what does Krishna do? If he wants to enjoy it, sometimes he just wants to let go, you might say. So he allows Daivi Shakti, or he allows Yoga Maya to run the show. And he, just like a really good actor, they lose themselves in the role. So Krishna loses himself in the role, in his pastime. Of course, in one sense, he never... I mean, how can we understand the mind of God exactly, what his consciousness is like? But from a certain perspective, we can say like that, that Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, they lose themselves in their role. Even Krishna, in his different avatars. So when he comes as a boar, well, he really becomes a boar. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't start playing his flute or something. He becomes a boar. So he gets into the role completely. So that's his enjoyment, that he does these things. So if he really wants to enjoy it, then he does sort of have to, you might say, shut off that awareness of who I am. So certainly throughout his Leela in Vrindavan, in one sense, he's shutting off that remembrance or memory of his great power and his majesty and how everyone is worshiping him in Vaikuntha and so on. He's just enjoying the moment. He's enjoying the moment. And we know in Goloka Vrindavan, it's eternally the moment. It's eternally the present. So he's enjoying himself completely. And, you know, how he forgets or doesn't quite forget or how that exactly works, I don't think we can say. But in principle, that idea is there, that he becomes completely absorbed in these leelas that are, in a sense, they're a play. Because, especially this one, he's setting up the whole thing and many things that Krishna does. And it's all sport for him, of course, Leela. Leela is Leelaya, means easily done. So everything Krishna does is easy for his play, and he doesn't have to worry about work. It's his weekend, he's on vacation in Vrindavan. Chira Kamprabhu?
So we find the whole world, or most of the world, is looking for God. But it seems that most of them are actually shortchanged. Is it because they're not looking hard enough, or is it something else? Can you?
Yeah, that would be our philosophy. Krishna reveals himself according to the heart of the seeker. Even in the purport to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada emphasizes the searchers, basically the three categories of those who are searching, at the impersonalists and the yogis and the devotees. So they're all searchers, they're all searching after Krishna, but because they have different desires and different motives and different willingness to surrender also, then they get different results. So what to speak of someone who's, you know, engrossed in this world and really no qualifications, then Krishna will show something. There are many pious people in this world. Of course, we live in the age where everything is so mixed up, it's really hard to understand. We see people who seem to have a lot of faith in God, who are always talking about God and trying to center their lives on God. But then on the other hand, they're doing such godless things, so it becomes very confused, mixed up age that we live in. So because of that, actually there's one place I remember hearing it years ago in a lecture where Prabhupada says that those who are praying to God doesn't have to answer their prayers if they're not following the regular principles. Essentially that's what he said. He doesn't have to respond if they're disobedient. Of course, that was a point Prabhupada also made. People say, I love God. And then Prabhupada said, well, what's the proof? How do you respond to that? What do we say? And then devotees gave different questions that Prabhupada answers that Prabhupada rejected. And finally he said, well, if you love God, why do you disobey him? So that was what... So it's the same thing. How if you want God to reveal himself to you, but if you're disobedient to him, if you're not aligned with him favorably, if your service is unfavorable, your connection to him is unfavorable, then he won't reveal himself. So that needs guidance. Of course, that's why one is considered very fortunate. Kono Bhagyavan Jiva. Only the Bhagyavan Jiva, the fortunate Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna, or meets the liberated spiritual master and gets divine direction from Him. So others, they flounder without that mercy. But still, whatever they do in relationship to Krishna, that builds up. That's also service. They're praying, vandanam, offering prayers, they're bowing down or genuflecting or thinking of God. There's some smarnam there, and according to what they know. So the elements of devotional service, the processes of devotional service that we practice, they're also practicing others who aren't under the guidance of a pure devotee. But their results will be mixed because they're not getting the proper guidance. Bring it on the Gorpham.
Thank you, Prabhuji. It's really enjoyable to hear your classes. I have a comment that, you know, Krishna, even if you're not chanting Hare Krishna and you are in the material world, like Prabhupada says, that I have a friend of mine, she was crying to Krishna before coming to America, asking him, where are you? I want to meet you. I want to see you. I'm confused. I cannot handle this anymore. Please help me. Please help me. She came to America. You know, she went to a timeshare presentation. She met me, and now she's living in Alachua. So actually, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, you know, for people who's really burned out, you know, they do like a COD pin delivery to them. The question that I have is, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and he's still hanging that thing about incarnated. Like he says to me, yeah, but if Lord Chaitanya is God, and he incarnated, and he has this material body, how he can be at the same time the universal creator, but at the same time he took a material body? And yesterday in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the class, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that as long as you're born even from a lotus, that's what he's talking about, Lord Brahma, that you're conditioned to this material world. Mm-hmm. So how can we explain, you know, to somebody that, okay, yeah, even if you're born from a lotus flower, you're conditioned, and if Lord Chaitanya was born from you know, Jagannath Misra, Mohar Sachi, you know, how he is not conditioned. If it's...
Well, that's all part of the play. It's not actually what's happening. Krishna is not actually being born in the material sense. This word, our translation for avatar as incarnation, is not the best word. Unfortunately, a lot of times we don't have the right word in English. Because incarnate means to become carnal, to have a physical body. Which, of course, is not what Krishna does. He doesn't come here and take on a body made of blood and guts and all the things that our ghastly bodies are made of. So it's not an incarnation in that sense, which may be what people think. Because when they talk of the incarnation of Jesus, for example, they think like that, that his body is actually a material body. Somehow it's spiritualized, of course, because they have the symbolism of the body and blood of Christ. So that's another aspect of it. But they do say God became man. So that's the idea of incarnation, that the two are... And that's part, for them, that's part of the greatness of Jesus, that he became a man, just like us. God, even. God became a man, just like us. So, but we say, no, that's not what happens. Krishna is eternally liberated. And when he comes in this to this world, his body seems like an ordinary body. But what does he say in Bhagavad Gita? The fools think that this is an ordinary body when I descend in human form. They do not know my transcendental nature. Parambhavam ajananto. So this body is Satchidananda. Lord Chaitanya's body was Satchidananda, Vigraha. But Krishna has the power to bewilder us. If someone can do it, as if an actor can bewilder us into forgetting what's going on, so what to speak of God? How easily is it for him to bewilder us? So it may look like, even on the battle of Kurukshetra, I think there was actually blood coming from Krishna's body, wasn't it? When he was fighting with Bhishma, that's what Bhishma was so... He loved seeing Krishna looking like a warrior with battle scars and so on. But his body is Satchidananda Vigraha. So it's just an illusion. So that's what we have to understand. But for us, of course, we're in contact with this material body and we're going to be influenced by it somehow. Even Lord Shiva, who's above Lord Brahma. Even he, of course, there are different forms of Shiva. So at least the Shiva who exists in this material world, he's influenced by the mode of passion somehow because he's touching it. So Krishna's energy is so powerful. Any contact we have with it is going to be influenced in some way. But Krishna and his avatars, they're completely transcendental to all of that. So we're a little over time. I think we should stop now. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.